Your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, ladies, for the music this morning. And thank you again all for coming. By the way, there is no children's church this morning, I am told. So you are not dismissed. 2 Peter is where we have been and where we still are. 2 Peter chapter 1, and our text for this morning is verse 19. But I'm going to begin by reading from verse 16. So 2 Peter 1, verse 16. Peter writes, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' In this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Until the day dawn, until the day dawn, that day is coming. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Will you stand, if you're able to stand, and join me as we ask God's blessing upon the reading of his word, upon our time in this passage this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you now for this time together. We want you to be honored and glorified, Lord. You are so good to us. We are so unworthy. We deserve hell. We deserve the wrath of God, the anger of God, the judgment of God. But by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, we are recipients of your mercy and your grace. And because of the love with which you loved us, we can be born again, born from above, and are made new creatures in Christ. We're new creations where old things are passed away and all things are become new. Help us, Lord, to walk in that newness. Help us this morning to listen to what you have for us. Lord, open our ears and our eyes and open our hearts to receive what you have for us. Speak to us, Lord. If there be sin in our life, I pray, Lord, you'd point that out, and may we be quick to confess it and turn from it and receive forgiveness and peace and joy that maybe we've not had for some time. Bless now as we consider the passage here. Help me as I preach. I just pray that you'll have your way. Speak to my heart, Lord, and use me as you see fit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. You know what? Peter and the others were there. They were in the very presence of the Lord of glory, and they saw him with their eyes. But now he tells us there's something better than being there. That is the very sure word of God being here with us and in us. We have also a more sure word. As reliable and as amazing as Peter's experience was on the Mount of Transfiguration that we read about in Matthew 17 and other Gospels, the prophetic word of Scripture is more sure. The Bible is better than having been there. That's what Peter is saying here. The Bible is more sure to our salvation, our growth in holiness, our growth in his likeness, our joy and peace and blessing, than having been there. That's so unbelievable to hear. Why? Because God has graciously given to us the living word, given to us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God within our hearts. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 4, verse 12. And the word of the Lord endures forever, 1 Peter 1:25. And this is a word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We now have in our possession a more sure word, a pure word, the word that endures forever, the word that is forever settled in heaven, that is like gold, that is living and powerful, and inspired by God. That means breathed out by God in 2 Timothy 3:16. The very living word of God that reveals to us our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gives us eternal life. We only know that because of the Bible, because of the Word. Jesus is a Word incarnate. In the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's the Word that changes lives. Is the Word, is a sure Word of Scripture, changing your life? Are you being transformed into the image of God from glory to glory, as 2 Corinthians 4:16 is, and I believe tells you? Do you read it? Do you read your Bible? That's where we start. The simple act of reading the Bible. And then do you treasure it, where you can't go a day without it? That's where we need to be. And if you aren't there, get on the road. Get on the road to reading and studying and meditating upon the Bible. And you'll find great blessing there. Whereunto you do well, Peter says, that you take heed. You take heed. Pay attention to it. The word is to be obeyed. I'm to pay a lot of attention to it. I simply must obey what I read. He that hears these sayings of God and does them is a very wise man, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, the end of that chapter. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place. You know, this world is dark. Did you know that? I'll remind you this morning. This world system is dark and getting darker as we get close to the time of the end. It is murky. It is squalid. It is dark. It is evil. And so in the midst of this world, we have a light that we've got to take heed to. Can you imagine life today without a Bible? Can you imagine if there were no Bible? If there were no word from God? How terrible and how awful and hopeless and in total despair would we be? Where would we be? Where would we be spiritually without the Bible? I mean, it was the Bible is where I first heard about how to be saved. I didn't hear about it in the church I grew up in. I heard about it in the Bible. Because the preacher of the church I grew up in didn't ever preach the Bible. It was my brother-in-law and sister who preached the Bible to me. And I responded to it by God's grace. But where would we be spiritually without the Bible? Would we be Buddhists? Would we be Hindus following the Hindu religion, or Muslims, or New Agers, thinking we have spirituality and thus eternal life, thinking that, but being deceived and believing that? And we may indeed have spirituality, but no life. We may have religion, but no relationship with Jesus Christ, no knowledge of the way to eternal life. And we would thus be in total darkness. There's a lot of very, very, very religious people today all throughout the world who have no life, who live in darkness. It's all a facade. But we have a light that lightens our way. Jesus Christ is the light. Praise God. And he refers to himself as the light of life. The Bible is a lantern to light the dark and sinful world that we live in. And during this earthly journey, we are in the midst of darkness that is controlled by the prince of darkness. Satan himself, the devil, he's the prince and power of darkness. And in his word, God wants us to understand and realize the fact of the gloom of this world. This world is a gloomy place. We need to remember that. There, of course, are marvelous things to enjoy on this planet called Earth, like the Grand Canyon. It's amazing. It's beautiful. God's creation. The Grand Tetons, the world's largest ball of twine in Cocker City, Kansas. It's amazing, these things. But there is a dark side to this world. There's a dark side to that ball of twine underneath, I'm sure. pretty dingy. There's a dark side that we need to understand in order to have the correct view of life. This world, meaning this world system, is a very dark place. It's a dark, gloomy, foul, vile, wretched place. And we need to understand that if we're going to understand the doctrine of the Bible, because that's what the Bible teaches. And I need reminding of that. Yeah, that's depressing. But explains a lot, helps us see our way more clearly. It helps us have a much greater appreciation for the necessity and the victory of what Christ did on the cross to deliver us from this a dark, gloomy stench of darkness. You know, we are hopelessly and helplessly entrapped in this dark, dismal world apart from the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so many are. Millions upon millions. We don't like it. It's not pleasant to deal with. But it's not pleasant just to hear the news every day of just what's going on in Washington. You think, what a corrupt, dark place. Well, it's pretty typical of the whole world system, isn't it? It's not pleasant. But we need to understand the doctrine of mankind is a story of sin and degradation and the fall of man from the very life of God, Adam and Eve, and they sinned in the garden when they walked in a perfect relationship with God and they chose the way of the world. They chose disobedience and plunged the whole human race into sin and degradation apart from Christ. It's a story of corruption and ungodliness that culminates in the wrath and judgment of Almighty God, and that day is coming, my friend. Not long after men fell into sin, God had to bring a flood upon earth and destroy every living creature, including every human being, except Noah and his family, 8 people. For God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, Genesis 6:5. Paul describes man in that day as a people in Romans 1:21 who, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Darkened. We live in a dark world. We live with a dark heart apart from the light of God. We live in a very, very, very dark place. I mean, the drugs, the drunkenness, the gambling, the greed, the sexual immorality and perversion, the murders taking place, the Holocaust of abortion, and on and on and on. And so we're told, do not love the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world system, the love of the Father is not in him. And it's 1 John 2:15. For the world is passing away, but he that does the will of God abides forever. But we're not to love it. Ephesians 5:11 and 12. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And those things we used to not even want to talk about are now glamorized for all to see. Children of God have no business going near that which is darkness. Paul was sent by God, we read in Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's where you and I are. We have a mission and a commission to turn people's eyes from darkness to light. And I can do that by sharing the word, by sharing what God's done for me. God delivered us from that darkness, and he sends you and me into the world. He didn't take us out of the world. When we got saved, he left us in the world to be a light to the world, to let that light shine that has shined in our hearts. So he sends me and you, you and me into the world, not to live it up and party and participate with the world, but to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to life. God uses you and me. And that's, you know, it's like, really? Me? Yeah, you. That's his way. He sends you. You who have been delivered from darkness now have a calling to deliver others from darkness. You know, if you had cancer, terminal cancer, and you found a doctor that was able to miraculously cure you of your cancer, what would you do? You'd be telling everybody else that had that cancer that you have an answer. Hey, you don't need to go through, you don't need to die. If you go see this doctor, you'll be saved. And that's where we are spiritually. You don't need to die spiritually. I know one who can save you from that, and that's Jesus Christ. They need to be delivered, even though they know it not, for they are in love with their darkness. John 3, verse 19, and this is a condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And that's where we live. Men love darkness. We wonder, how can it get so bad? Because men are in love with it. Satan has blinded the hearts of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. And if they are not saved, if they don't turn, they will live in agonizing blackness and darkness forever. Hell is described as a place not only of torment, but of darkness. Matthew 22:12, and he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him, the Lord says, into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Right in the middle, though, of the gloom and death of darkness comes a light. That's the good news. That's why it's so good. Comes a light that dispels all the darkness. And this was foretold in Isaiah's prophecy of Christ, written 700 years before he came, Isaiah 9:2, that the light would come in the person of the Messiah. Isaiah 9:2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the shadow of the land of the shadow of death, upon them light hath shined. I know it shined upon me one day back in 1974. Did it shine upon you? Are you an inheritor of the light of Jesus Christ? This was beautifully and specifically fulfilled 700 years later when Jesus Christ stepped on the public scene and made himself known to the people who were lost, groping in this gloomy arena of death and darkness, having no hope and without God in the world. And Matthew tells us when Jesus began his ministry, we read that in Matthew 4:16 and 17, the people that sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. He's basically quoting the prophecy of Isaiah 9:2. From that time forth, Jesus began to preach and say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the light, preaching, repentance, and faith. And we have that light. We have the privilege of walking in that light, and we should never get over it. Never take for granted what God has done for you. I am the light of the world, Jesus said. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life, John 8:12. D. Martin Lloyd Jones, a great famous preacher in London earlier in the early middle part of the 1900s, he said, this is the gleam in the gloom. Jesus Christ is the gleam in the gloom. The Bible is a lantern that provides light to a dark and sinful world. And this world is moving toward a day when Jesus Christ returns in full blazing splendor and majesty. And we're to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, Titus 2, verse 13. He, Jesus Christ, is the answer. He is the only answer to all the world's problems. It's sin and it's darkness. And that's the greatest problem in the world. not the corruption going on in Washington and throughout the world, not global warming, not global cooling, not climate change. It's not nuclear war. It's sin and darkness where there's no hope. But the Son of God has made the atonement. He has reconciled man to God. And now God is calling the people out of the world, out of darkness, into his light. And God is rescuing and redeeming his chosen out of this gloom of death. And when that day dawns, Christ forever will banish the earthly night of sin and darkness and return in light and glory to establish his glorious kingdom. And you and I will be there if we know him. Until the day dawn, our passage says. Until the day dawn. The dawning of a new day is often a beautiful thing to behold. If I'm up that early, I love seeing dawn. I love seeing the light dispel the darkness. It was dark and somehow, almost miraculously, it's not anymore. Light has come. Dawn is when darkness disappears because the first rays of the sun come on the horizon and they dispel the darkness. And we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you take heed as unto a light that shine in a dark place until the day dawn. Until the day dawn. And the day star and the morning star rise in your hearts. That day is the day of the Lord, the day of judgment and salvation, when all those who oppose God will be punished with everlasting destruction, and all those who love him and love his appearing will be delivered forever. So we take heed. In the meantime, we just live a life of faithfulness. Live a life in the Word of God. Live a life of prayer, a life of witness, a life of joy for what God has done. I don't deserve it. But look what God has done. We take heed while we watch and wait. We occupy till he comes. We work, we labor. We're busy for him till he comes. And come he will. It will be a dawning, a rising of the sun of righteousness beyond what anybody has seen. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. Matthew 24:30. And then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with glory and great power. Great glory. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. The day is going to dawn, folks. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Revelation 1:7. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. And be admired of them that believe. Until the day dawn. In the meantime, we have a light, the Word of God. Scripture is kind of a nightlight. John MacArthur refers to this. The Bible is our nightlight until that day. It shines now only temporarily. It will endure forever, but it shines as a light in this dark place only temporarily, because as long as we are in this world, it is dark. And we follow until the day dawns. We follow the Scripture. We follow the Lord until the day dawn. And when the day dawns, when the Lord returns, we will then be in the very presence of the light, the very presence of the living Word of God. And we'll no longer need our Bibles. You realize that? We'll no longer need our Bibles when we're in His presence. I got to thinking about that. And you know, the Bible is filled with admonitions to pray. We won't need to pray. Farewell, farewell, we'll sing, sweet hour of prayer. And so we'll not need that. And the Bible tells us to love not the world. We won't need that anymore, because that'll no longer be a possibility. The world will not be there. The Bible tells us to resist the devil. Well, he will no longer be a threat. Now, the Word of God is forever, but the Bible as we know it, in the presence of the Lord, we won't need it. We'll have the pure, true light. You see, there's coming a dawning, and this dawning, this light that is coming is not the sun. Now, by the way, you may disagree with me, but it's interesting to think about. I don't know. I mean, the Bible lives forever, the Word of God. But we're gonna experience the living Word as we have never experienced before. But the day is going to dawn. The light that is coming, by the way, is not the sun. The Bible is not the sun. The sun is Jesus Christ. When the dawn dawns and the day star, morning star arises, then will come the full blazing light of the eternal sun, who is Jesus Christ. That is prophesied in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. The Son, the S-U-N of righteousness, will arise with healing in his wings. That's speaking of a person who is referred to as the S-U-N, the Son, the brightness of righteousness. In Revelation 21:23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the Lamb, of course, is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. This world is filled with corruption and wickedness and darkness. It is a black, gloomy cavern dripping with the raunchy stench of sin. And it's not going to get any better. We're not going to bring in the kingdom by our own effort. It is only going to get worse. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But the light is still there in the midst of this raunchy gloominess. The light, the lamp is still shining, and the day will dawn, the day star arise. Christ the Messiah, the Son of God, shall return to this world. He is coming again. Mark it down. He is coming again. And he will come as a king. He will come as conqueror. He will take a hold of everything that is sinful and evil and wrong, and he's going to demolish it. Pulverize it, destroy it. Sin and evil will be removed forever, taken right out, and everything that comes from and belongs to sin and evil will also be destroyed. Everything that makes the world dark and gloomy and dingy will be taken away. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? We can only imagine. We read about it in Scripture, but how can we fully understand? It's all going to be taken away, and there shall be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness forever. Sound like a fairy tale? Well, the false preachers and the false teachers that we'll look at in chapter 2, they tell fairy tales. Their teaching is fairy tales. But what we have here is not. And you either believe the gospel message, or else you keep living in the gloom and darkness and hopelessness. And you're without Jesus Christ this morning. You are hopelessly lost and are going to face the eternal wrath of God one day. There's a light. There's a light that is dawned if you will come to that light. There's no light apart from that. This world is dark, will always be dark. No one and no kingdom is going to usher in a period of light. Jesus will usher it in. Till the day dawn, the day star will rise. That word day star should be translated morning star, as some of your Bibles read. It's a word, it's a Greek word, phosphorus. We get our word phosphorus from this, which literally means light bringer, light bringer. The Lord Jesus Christ, the morning star, is the light bringer. And by the way, the morning star was a common name for the planet Venus. Venus, which precedes the morning sun in the sky and appears in the east right before the sunrise, and it's used here of the coming of Jesus Christ. Until the morning star, till the day dawn and the morning star rise in your hearts. God's word is so very important and vital to our life that we need to take heed to it as a light in the dark place. I don't like total darkness. The other night, I was sitting up reading, and lamp was on, and lights were on, some of the lights were on, and all of a sudden, everything went totally black. Just without a sound, it just went black. My light, and the street lights, our area of town lost power for a while. It was total darkness. I can walk from one room to another because the street lights show through the windows. I couldn't do it. I had to take a flashlight to get around, you know, and I thought, wow, what happened? And did I miss a rapture or what? Or did some foreign enemy destroy our electronic grid system and this is what will happen? And then I thought, what am I going to do? I won't be able to make my coffee in the morning. You know, that was one of my first thoughts. I kind of started to panic, you know, but it was just total darkness. And then I got that flashlight. I thought, wow. And I depended on that flashlight. I needed that light. And it lit my way through the house for about 10 minutes, and then it all came back on. I said, thank you, BPU. I don't know if a squirrel got in the transformer or what, but anyway, God's word is so vital to my life. We need to take heed to it as a light in a dark place. And we're to do that faithfully, daily, constantly, until the day dawn and the morning star rises. And it's coming. There'll be a day we don't do it anymore because we'll be in the presence of the light, the Son of God. The darkness of this world keeps people from seeing the truth until the lamp of divine revelation shines forth. So Peter equates Scripture to a lantern that provides light to a dark and sinful world. The light is a lamp. Lamp that lightens my way. It will be our light until a glorious event when Jesus Christ returns in full blazing splendor and majesty. Look, I haven't had you turn to pass, but look at Revelation 19. Revelation 19 and verse 11. When the day dawns, Christ will terminate the temporary earthly night of sin and spiritual darkness and returning in glory to establish his kingdom. He's going to terminate the darkness. This will do away with it. And we see in Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That will be the time the day star, the morning star, rises in the believer's hearts. This is the completion of our salvation, when we will be transformed into perfect reflections of the truth and righteousness of Christ, and will be made into the very image, the very likeness of his glory, when we will be conformed to the image of the Son of God, Romans 8:29. At that time, our vile body will be fashioned like unto his glorious body, Philippians 3:21. Christ is a star and the sun. Numbers 24:17 prophesies, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not near. There shall come a star out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 22:16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you of these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Jesus himself said, I am the bright and morning star. The morning star is going to come. The Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be the morning star. Way back in Numbers, he would be a star. Clear to the end of Scripture, Revelation 22, he would be the morning star. But until the morning star appears in the dawning of the day in blazing sunlight, we have a nightlight right here. And this is where we learn of Jesus. This is our light. This is our God. I dare not go anywhere without it. This Bible is my guide, a friend by my side. I will read it and heed it each day. Until the day dawn, and finally, the day star, the morning star arise in your hearts. How does that happen? How does a morning star arise in your hearts? I don't know, but he may be saying that Christ comes. When Christ comes, not only will his blazing light be physically visible around us, but it will transform our hearts as well. It will be both outward and inward. We will see the day dawn and the morning star, but we will be transformed from the inside out as well. I can't wait for that. I can't wait for the rapture. I can't wait for the coming of the Lord. Say, Lord, I just love to go and be with you. And it's going to come. It's going to come. And we're going to be transformed from the inside out. Our hearts will be illuminated and we'll no longer have any doubts. You're no longer going to lack assurance of salvation. You're no longer going to wonder. You're going to know. We shall know him, for we shall be like him. One writer said, when Jesus comes, we will not need the prophetic word to shine in a dark place, the sinful world. Then our hearts will be enlightened by the morning star himself. And the knowledge of God that shines upon us when we're saved will reach its consummation at his second coming. And he that hath begun a good work in you now will perform it in the day of Christ. He will complete it. Can't think where that's at now. Philippians 1:6, I'm not sure. The work, the illuminating, the glow of phosphorus, the morning star, has begun. So just let it shine. Let it shine. Let Christ illuminate your heart and your soul and reflect. Let's be reflectors of the light of Jesus Christ. May our prayer be, God, light my heart. Set me on fire for you. Is there a fire in your heart? Is your heart shining for him? It can. It can if you'll come and just give it all to him and bow before him. May God help us to do that today. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this wonderful truth, this great promise and hope that we have. You didn't have to tell us about this. You didn't have to save us, but not only did you save us and give us life eternal, but you showed us the way to live a life of victory where we can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. We can be overcoming conquerors through him that loved us. And thank you, Lord, that we need not be conquered by sin. We can have victory over sin, and ours is a victory through Jesus Christ, for he has given us the victory. Help us, Lord. Cleanse us of sin. Help us to walk in the light and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and be willing and be diligent to share that with someone else. Maybe there's one to whom we can be a witness this week. Help us, Lord. Bless now as we close. In Jesus' name, amen.